So, welcome. I believe we are really blessed and privileged to be part of this church because the leadership of this church every year takes a Sunday and takes time to recognize the persecuted church around the world and around the globe. There is an International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, which is in November. That's why we have this service during this time. And today we're going to start out with a video about a young man named Sang Chul. Don't know if I'm pronouncing that right or not. But there was a pastor that reached out to him. And I want to read a little bit of an article that was written about the pastor who was mentioned and talked about in this video, although the video is from the perspective of this man, Sang Chul, whom this pastor reached out to. A pastor on the China-North Korea border shared the hope of the gospel with at least 1,000 North Koreans before he was assassinated for his missionary work in 2016, a defector has revealed. Voice of the Martyrs says the Reverend Han Chung Ryol, a Chinese pastor of Korean descent, was on Pyongyang's most wanted list as early as 2003 for his charitable work and dedication to spreading the gospel. Han, who ministered on the border town of Chongbai since the early 1990s, ministered to thousands of North Koreans over the years, many of whom had fled the famine-stricken country in search of food and jobs. The pastor provided practical aid, such as food and clothing, and introduced each person to the gospel before sending them back to North Korea to share Christ and help their families. After planting a three-self church near the North Korean border in 1993, Han helped orphans, women enslaved to prostitution, soldiers, those starving from famine, and many others. Voice of the Martyrs reported in 2016 that Han was brutally murdered in Chongbai, China, just 49 years of age at the time of his death. The pastor's mangled body was discovered just hours after he left his church buildings in Chongbai. North Korea has, for the last 18 years, ranked as the worst persecutor of Christians in the world on Open Doors USA World Watch List. Those who profess Christ or are caught communicating with missionaries face severe repercussions like torture and imprisonment. No definitive estimates exist on how many people have died inside North Korean political camps, but some believe the number ranges from 400,000 to into the millions. So this story is about one of those men that Pastor Han reached out to.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Pastor Han and Sang Chul. We praise you and thank you for men who have your call on their lives and who want to share the great love of Jesus with people even in dangerous places. Bless Sang Chul and all those 1,000 people that Pastor Han reached out to and won to you. May they be discipled. May there be new freedoms in the land of North Korea, in Jesus' name. Thank you. I would like my army to come forward. I have three prayer leaders and I have two map holders. So if you just come and stand with me, I'm surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. As I read this scripture out of the Bible, how many of you have a Bible here this morning? Would you hold your Bible up or your cell phone where your Bible is? Would you open it to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8? Okay, while you're turning to that passage, Corbin and his beautiful wife are holding my map. This is Christian Witness Under Fire, and it shows... Corbin said, is this the 1040 window? And actually, it is the 1040 window, but it's where most persecution takes place. So we're going to be concentrating on our family. Did you know my brother? Some of you have prayed for my brother. Some of you prayed for my nephew. And a lot of you have prayed for some of these family members, and they're your family. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we do not want you to be ignorant. How many of you want to be ignorant of what we're sharing this morning? Raise your hand if you'd like to stay ignorant. Most of us want to stay ignorant. Dottie was just telling me the first time she ever heard about Voice of the Martyrs, she wanted to run away. She didn't want to hear it. People would much rather go on a church picnic than hear about persecution. This is not an easy topic. And that's why St. Paul said, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death. And he does deliver us, in whom we trust he still will deliver us. This is our verse, church. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Our prayers are going to help. Somebody's going to be helped today because of our prayers. Now, if you still have your Bibles with you, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Most of us, in fact, we've quoted from this very podium. Three different ones of us have quoted Ephesians 6, the full armor, put on the full armor of God. Often by the time we get to verse 18, we don't think much about that. But in verse 18, it's still part of the armor of God. It says, praying always. Praying always? With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful unto this end, that with all perseverance and supplication, this is the hard one, for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that's Paul, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Now then, as you come up to take communion today, I have put a chain up on this little table so that when we take communion, we will realize that we are part of the body of Christ who is, they are ambassadors in chains. And then on either side of the chain are police batons. My brother is a retired police officer, so he gave me one of his police batons. They use these when the criminals do not do what they say, and they sometimes beat them. That's police brutality in America, but in these other countries it's common. And Christians are criminals. So many times when we come up to take communion, I envision that each of us is dressed in orange and that we have chains, and we're coming up chained with our legs and our arms together, chained to be freed in Christ by his precious body and his precious blood. So as we take communion today, when I was in Laos, we took communion with the persecuted church there. They had no grape juice. They used Kool-Aid, and somebody had something else. And so it was such an honor to pray with those Laotian pastors. I'm going to have, we'll go women first and pray for different parts of the world. If Corbin and you get real tired, we could have someone help you. So we're just going to pray right now in Jesus' name.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do come before your throne and know that you hear us. You know, we know you hear our hearts, and that your Spirit is in supplication, words that we can't even express. Lord, I pray today especially for the women and the children of the persecuted church. Sin always affects women and children in many more brutal ways. And when they lose their protector, Lord, they only can rely on you and those around them. who hopefully will come to their aid. Lord, we are Lord, we bring them before you. We think of the widows in Colombia. We think of the families of the girls kidnapped by Boko Haram, especially the girls that are still missing. Lord, you know where they are. You know, you can give them protection, but maybe also you choose not to, and we do not understand. Give them, remind them of the living hope that they have through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Remind them that in your timetable, that these trials that they are experiencing are considered to be a short time. May their faith be found to be genuine and tested through these fiery trials. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Since 2011, when ISIS grew in western Iraq and eastern Syria, one of their big targets was Christians. There's more than 2 million Christians, they believe, in Iraq. There's less than 250,000 now. Many died. Many more fled and are in camps. In Syria, there was more than 2 million Christians. One of the things Assad did do is he did leave the Christians in place, so there was more of them there. There's less than 1 million left now, but a lot of them stayed there to kind of support people. So in the Kurdish regions of Iraq and in Turkey, and a couple million are actually in Jordan, and more than 1 million in Lebanon. So just huge number of people living in camps, Christians. And those camps are dangerous. I know some U.S. groups that do get some money to go and support them, but they're still dangerous. But even then, for the Christians that are not in those camps, when they go back, whether they stayed or where they moved to areas, you know, ISIS kidnapped people and made them slaves, raped, and then really killed a lot of people. We don't even know how many bodies they had. So that's just one thing we do get concerned sometimes when we see our political rhetoric here. But, I mean, these are believers that, I mean, for them to say they're a believer, they could die. I mean, it's something we just don't really realize, right? So let's just pray for these people and for us that we would, that we'd be moved by their plight. Lord, it's been 8 years, and it was even longer before that. There's people that have stayed in those regions in Iraq and Syria, and most of them stayed so they could witness to their neighbors. This is a faith that most of us don't have, Lord. So we cry out for them and for us, Lord, but we cry out for them that you would be present, Lord, in those camps. You'd be present in those neighborhoods. You would make yourself, more real to them, Lord, every day. Draw them to your word and to love each other and their enemies. But we ask you to protect them, Lord, and to and give them the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that people would know that they know you and that they obey you and they love you, and that people would just see their love for the brethren. We just ask you to protect people in those camps, Lord. And more so then, Lord, we just pray for our hearts that we would be sensitive. We would figure out ways to support them through prayer and even small contributions, Lord, to things like Voice of the Martyrs and Open Doors, Samaritan's Purse, Campus Crusade. They all have people in those areas. So, Lord, just... throughout, just not today, but put in all of our hearts to realize that we are to pray for and to support those that are suffering, Lord, and they truly are on a front line in a way we're not. We just thank you for this day that we can remember these parts of Scripture and these people and just burn it into our heart, Lord, that you care for them and that they are truly given a great prize in the sense that their faith can be tested and they can live it. And like Pastor Han, a lot of those people will give their lives. So we just We just come before you, Lord, and repent of our sin, of our selfishness, Lord, that we just in America we can get so used to worrying about our comforts and our own little issues, and we just ask you to open our eyes, God, that we can pray for and support these people. Amen.
In addition to ISIS, especially in Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Afghanistan, and Pakistan, Al-Qaeda, who orchestrated the 9/11 bombings here in the U.S., they are still alive. And especially in Afghanistan, you read all the time bombs going off at weddings, diplomatic embassies, and less publicized in other places, but they are still alive and well. The thing that struck me was, if you think of Paul, he was essentially a terrorist before he became a believer. He participated in breaking into houses, having people hauled off, voting him to be killed. And they're in Al-Qaeda, I'm sure they're just basic thugs who are just in it for the money and power. And then there are probably sincere Muslims who really think they are doing the will of God. And like Paul, who thought he was doing the will of God, he was doing the exact opposite. So we should pray for these countries where these groups are so influential, and especially the leaders who command such followings, that God will be working. And thank you, Lord, for your sovereign hand that it's hard to understand some of the things that you allow to happen, and yet you are greater than all these things. And you know at this very hour all the different plots and thoughts that are going through the minds of these Al-Qaeda leaders in these nations, that you know them completely. And Lord, I would ask that you will, if there are any who are mistaken in their zeal, who think they are serving you, that you, just as you did with Saul, you will help them to know that you are the God that they are serving, you, Jesus Christ, and you will arrest them and change their paths, and that you will be taking away the influence they have on many of the younger, more wavering men. And Lord, we think of all the Christians who are stuck in Afghanistan and Pakistan, and they cannot leave, and they are in areas controlled by the Taliban, by Al-Qaeda, that you will protect them by your angels. Thank you that your angels are there to watch out for them. Please help them have seeing eyes, hearing ears. Help them be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. Help them know when to speak and when to be silent. Help them not be afraid. And just protect them, Lord, and cause the seed that you have allowed to be there to grow. And for access to scriptural things, Lord, too, as thank you for the many people who risk their lives to bring Bibles and other materials in, and for the technology to beam things in via internet, Lord, that you would sovereignly continue to preserve that, and you will use that to speak truth into their lives. And then for us here, Father, who this is somewhat distant and something we hear about on the news maybe, but thank you for bringing many Muslims here, Lord, that you've got them out to hear the gospel, to see the gospel in lives. Please help us not to stereotype, Lord. Help us not to be afraid. Help us not to be bitter. Help us not to accuse them of crimes they did not commit, Lord, but to understand that you made them as much as you made us. You are the God of all flesh, that there will be men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation before you. Please help us to love, to see each one as individuals. For your sake, Jesus, amen.
Thank you all. Appreciate that. I was recently meaning last month in October, out in Oregon, and I was part of a golf tournament as a fundraiser for my alma mater, Oregon State University. Oregon State has recently, in the last 13 years, won the NCAA National Championship in baseball. And it was a fundraiser for the college baseball team, and I participated in that. The head coach spoke, and he said, "We are not all about team." He said, "We are all about family." And hence, we are family. We think of our alma mater, or we think of the Chiefs or the Royals, and we say, "Yeah, we won yesterday," right? And we don't know anybody on the team personally. You know, we have nothing to do with the organization, but we live near the ballpark, and so we call them "we." We won. You know, I grew up as a Johnny Unitas fan for the Baltimore Colts. Some of you don't even realize that the Indianapolis Colts used to be in Baltimore. But at the same time, there's a sense of us, an innate sense that we want to belong to something that is greater than ourselves. And how much far greater is it to be part of the family of God, to be part of the citizenship that we have in heaven, to be part of the body and the bride of Christ. And we're on the winning team. I've read the back of the book. I've read the book of Revelation, and we win. That's right. Not because of anything I did or you did, but because of Jesus. And we get to give glory to him. So the next slide, I just want to read four snippets of articles regarding the expansion of Christianity. So often when we think of the persecuted church, we think of defeat or we think of struggle, which there is, the physical struggle and the mistreatment of people. But at the same time, the gospel grows. Here's an article that was written in 2010 about Africa. Now, keep in mind, the definition of Christianity here is probably broader than ours. But in the 20th century, Christianity in Africa exploded from an estimated population of 8 or 9 million in 1900 to some 335 million in 2000, marking a shift in the center of gravity of Christianity from the West to Latin America, parts of Asia, and Africa. In the 20th century alone, there have been some 1.8 million Christian martyrs in Africa. The figure does not take into account the estimated 600,000 Christians who have died in the genocidal conflicts in Rwanda and Burundi, nor does it fully account for the more than 2 million deaths in the 17 years of Sudanese civil war waged by the militant Islamist government on the predominantly Christian population of the South. Through hardship comes growth. Through challenge comes growth. Through martyrdom comes growth. It's not my plan, it's God's plan. But I am certainly not here or capable of answering how in the world this is part of his plan, but I do know that it's tied in and key to the testing of our faith. How genuine is our faith in Christ, and how would we know if there wasn't pressure on our faith to test it and to prove it? That testing, even though by gold, the purifying of our hearts for him. Another example of growth in the church, this is an article written June 8th, 2018. Established in 1993, Sao Paulo, Brazil's March for Jesus is among the biggest religious events in the world. The country with the world's second largest Christian population after the United States. Each year, for 26 years, hundreds of thousands of people have gathered together in the streets of Sao Paulo to worship the Lord and share the gospel. This year, the crowds have been estimated to have been in the millions. I read a different article where they said it was possibly 3 million. The annual March for Jesus, sponsored by the Luiz Palau Evangelistic Association, wound through 3 miles of Sao Paulo's streets for about 12 hours on the 31st of May, 2018. Demonstrating that the church is alive and well, and that the message of the gospel is open to everyone, not just those inside of a church building. Organizers describe the march as a peaceful act and a conscious and exciting movement of God in our day. Another example of growth, China. What a paradox that nation is, with Mao Zedong in... during the 40s taking over, and the communist nation that it is and the oppression that it is. Our son was there for parts of 12 years. Daniel was there. Kind of a paradox in the sense that they're trying to grow their economy much like a capitalistic nation, but keeping an atheistic view on the people and trying to clamp down on them in terms of what they believe. This article was written April 29th, 2019. Says, despite restrictive authorities, the Chinese church continues to grow. Estimates by The Economist and Operation World place the population of Christians at over 100 million. In 2010, the number was estimated at between 30 to 67 million. In comparison, at the time of Mao Zedong's death in 1976, the number was less than 8 million. There are many reasons for this shift. China is actively sending workers throughout the globe, especially Africa, to capitalize on natural resources. This has given Chinese immigrants exposure to Christianity, and many convert. They then return home and share the gospel message. Some posit that China has been soul-searching since the death of its founder, Mao Zedong. With his death, the Chinese began looking to fill the void their leader left behind. The government places firm restrictions on the practice of Christianity. Churches must be sanctioned by the government. However, only a third of all Christians in China attend these churches. The Chinese government continues to encourage atheism for its population. China rates a Tier 1 country of particular concern by the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom. Pray for our own ambassador, Sam Brownback, who's our religious ambassador for the United States. Pray for his ministry to open up the gospel to other nations. Finally, the last article I have is on Iran. This article was written, actually, this is from Fox News. It was published on September 27th, less than 2 months ago. And these three men have put together a documentary about Iran. And it says, a new film tells the story of the fastest growing church in the world, an underground persecuted Christian movement in a country known for exporting radical Islamic terrorism, Iran. People in Iran, a Muslim-majority nation, are fleeing Islam in droves as believers bow their knee to Jesus and become aggressively pro-Israel. According to the documentary, Sheep Among Wolves 2, Volume 2. Sheep Among Wolves, Volume 2. One of the men spoke, "What if I told you Islam is dead?" One unidentified Iranian church leader says in the film, which was directed by Dalton Thomas and produced by Frontier Alliance International Studios. "What if I told you the mosques are empty inside Iran?" he continues. "What if I told you no one follows Islam inside of Iran? Would you believe me?" The pastor adds, "What if I told you the best evangelist for Jesus was the Ayatollah Khomeini?" The Ayatollahs brought the true face of Islam to light, and people discovered it was a lie. After 40 years under Islamic law, a utopia according to them, they've had the worst devastation in the 5,000-year history of the country. Thomas calls the movement the Iranian Awakening. It owns no property, no buildings, no central leadership, and is predominantly led by women, he said in a statement. Named after the Bible verse Matthew 10:16, which says, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." The documentary claims Muslim background Iranians are leading a quiet but mass exodus out of Islam and bowing their knees to the Jewish Messiah, which kindled affection toward the Jewish people. So those are just... And I think the video, I have not seen the video, but I think it is available out there if you look for it. So, we're family. We're all part of this together. I just want to go over four scriptures and then I'm done. Just the next slide. One day we will all worship God together in the fullness of His glory. One day you'll be with those saints that have suffered and died for their faith. One day we will be that one thing, that with all those people that are greater, that that goal of God to be part of that bride of Christ, the marriage supper of the Lamb, where the bride has made itself ready. And I'm sure the Lord has going to have a lot to do with the bride being ready. But I just want to run through these four scriptures real quick. Our home group's studying Revelation right now, so my mind's on Revelation. These are all out of Revelation. And they sang a new song saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals." This is the four living creatures and the 24 elders that are speaking to Jesus, who was the only one deemed worthy to open the scroll to bring the final judgment upon the earth. "For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." That's you. That's me. That's them. That's our family. We are family. We're part of all this. "After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" You're part of that great multitude. You're part of that great multitude. "After this, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, crying out, 'Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for his judgments are true and just. For he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality, and has avenged on her the blood of his servants.'" The fifth seal in chapter 6 of the book of Revelation is the martyr seal. "And those that were killed for their faith cry out to God, 'How long, O Lord, before you avenge our blood on this earth?'" There's your answer in chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. God brings the judgment and pays the price, pays that penalty to those who caused great suffering and killed the saints. And then the last verse, "Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, 'Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready.'" That's you. That's them. That's us. That's our Christian family. From the time of Jesus, from the time of Abraham, from the time of Adam, all those that have trusted in the name of the Lord and have been saved, that's part of his bride. And we are on the winning side. So even through the suffering, even through the martyrdom, even through the horrible mistreatment of people throughout the years, even through terrible government that seeks to oppress its own citizens, there is victory, there is joy. This is the end. What does it say? "Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his bride has made herself ready." We will be ready when he returns. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the testimony of all those that have gone before us that have suffered for the faith, even those that have been killed for the faith. And we thank you that we are part of that family, that we are part of that body of Christ, those citizens in heaven that have been redeemed by you, by your blood, Jesus. We're so grateful that we're together. May you expand and increase our sense of who we are and what our purpose is as we consider the whole body of Christ. Father, take us out of our own smallness and our own circumstances and our own situations, and give us a better understanding of how we can be a better witness for you within the whole sphere of the body of Christ in this world. We pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
I just want to say that if you are not already receiving the Voice of the Martyrs magazine, you can sign up for it, or you could just get it online if you don't want more literature coming into your home. If you just go to persecution.com, then you can obey that scripture that says, "I do not want you to be ignorant." Then you don't have to be ignorant. You can find out about our precious brothers and sisters who really we can make a difference in their lives. One more thing before Clifton leads this song is I thought of people in this church that when you see that chain, I thought some of the most vocal people in this church, not just musically, but if you talk to Clifton and find out how many people he's talking to Jesus about, he might be one of the first ones arrested if we were arrested for sharing our faith. So I'm very thankful for Clifton and others of you who really verbally share your faith. Those are the ones that get persecuted first.
Thanks, Clifton.
Amen. You may be seated. Little housekeeping here. One more passage I would like to share with you today is in Ephesians 4. Verses 1 through 6. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you we're called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Amen. Amen. We are all part of the great body of Christ. We are part of that bride. It matters. It matters that I walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which I have been called with all humility and gentleness. It matters that you walk that way as well. We represent Christ on this earth. We are together as one, as part of his body. May we all walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called.